This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hi, my name is Dr. Lou Diaz, pastor of Butte Bible Fellowship located at 2255 Pillsbury Road in Chico. And I'm providing inspirational teaching for you from God's Word each week. Listen to my weekly radio program, Encouraging Words with Dr. Lou Diaz, at 10 a.m. on Saturday or 10 a.m. on Sunday. If you would like to hear my current message series, you may call Butte Bible Fellowship at 530-892-0521. Today's message is entitled, Proper Protections During the Last Days. Have you ever received instructions, let's say to make an IKEA cabinet, and failed to read the instructions? I have. I put together an IKEA cabinet and realized I had put the back on backwards. Guess what? I had to disassemble the whole thing and do it over again. It would have helped if I had read the instructions and followed the instructions, but I didn't. How much more critical is it for us to follow the instructions in the last days? The last days refers to that time since Jesus came, the Messiah came, inaugurating the last days. The last days will end with Christ's return, and we look forward to that time when the Lord shall return. In the meantime, how should we then live? We have for us these instructions that will protect us. What are the proper last days protection? What instructions do we need to have so that we can live our best lives for the Lord? We're going to have 3 points from this passage of 1 Timothy 5, 1-6:2. The first is that there are essential instructions. We need to have order for order. It says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 7, and in verse 21, and in chapter 6, verse 2, that Paul, writing to Pastor Timothy, says, whatever you do, present these instructions for the last days. Make them clear. Persist in repeating yourself. Insist that people follow instructions. Let's look at the 3 times where Paul emphasizes the importance of these essential instructions. First of all, 1 Timothy 5:7. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. In other words, by following these instructions, we do not give the Lord a black eye, but we honor the Lord. And we want to be workmen who need not be ashamed. Verse 21, Paul says to Pastor Timothy at the church of Ephesus, I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. So Paul is exhorting Timothy to apply the instructions and the commands and the marching orders equally to all people, including pastors and elders. No one is exempt. No one is above the Word of God. It applies to everyone. These are critical, essential instructions. And then finally, in chapter 6, verse 2 of 1 Timothy, these are the things you are to teach and insist on. So whenever a pastor preaches the Word of God, he is laying out for you essential instructions. Someone said B-I-B-L-E is standing for, what's that? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. The Bible is a manufacturer's manual. How do you figure out why you exist and what life is about and how you should live? Guess what? The Bible has the answers. The Bible is the final authority for all life and practice. When we follow God's word, we are blessed and we receive direction and protection and provision, and the Lord is honored. Next, we see relational categories, and this is how to relate in the best manner to all people, the best for rest. So 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2 speak about how do you relate to older men? It says, speak to them not harshly, but respectfully as to your father. Relating to younger men, you're to relate as a brother. And to older women, relate to them as a mother. And to younger women, treat them as a sister with absolute purity. When a person has this mindset of respect, they get along. They treat people with dignity and respect. But then the categories go on that Paul addresses with Timothy. He says, how do you handle widows, those who are, their husbands have died? He says, well, there's different categories of widows. There's widows who have no family. And in that case, the church cares for them. Widows with family, the family should care for them. And there is a widow's list. Now, who qualifies to be put on a widow's list? Those widows who are all alone and are faithful to the Lord. When I went to Tajikistan, where our church had delivered truckloads of clothes to orphanages, I found out something very interesting about orphanages, that you have what they call full circle orphans. A full circle orphan is someone that every family connection has been cut off. They are completely all alone. So it's the widows who are full circle widows who should be put on the widow's list. However, there are some orphans who are not full circle. That is, for some reason, their family can't afford to take care of them. Their family still exists, visits them, brings them home for holidays, but for all intents and purposes, they need the orphanage to care for and raise their children. They're not full circle orphanages, orphans, because they have family members. So there's also another thing that is important with the widows list. You don't want to put young widows on the widows list. You want to urge them to remarry, because they can get into all sorts of trouble given their youthfulness and energy and perhaps their distractions with worldly things. And you know what? It'd be best for them to focus their time and attention. Now, Paul also talks about elders. He says you should reward the faithful ones and discipline the unfaithful ones. In essence, he says, do not lay hands on anyone quickly. I like to say, vet them, don't just get them. So when you're considering a church leader, make sure you know more about their reputation, not that they're popular or that they're wealthy. Don't just grab any warm body, someone who's breathing. Make sure they know the Lord and they have a good reputation in the community. And finally, Paul addresses the category of slaves. Now, some people might say, well, why didn't the Bible stand against slavery during the first century in the time of the Roman Empire? And the point was not that the Lord didn't want to set slaves free, but that the gospel changes people from the inside out. And eventually it changes cultures. So meeting the slaves right where they are, how could they be change agents in their situation? And the answer is, by respecting their masters and serving them, especially if they're fellow believers. So now, having summarized a lot of verses succinctly, I'm getting to the heart of my message. The heart of my message is that there are defining attitudes in this passage that, unless you study the passage very carefully, you'll miss them. This is the heart of the passage that applies to you and me right now, that you and I have an attitude towards the Lord that honors him or dishonors him, that heads towards him or moves away from him. And let's look at this, because I think if we read this passage, we would overlook these defining attitudes. The first defining attitude is R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect. And we find this several times in our passage, 1 Timothy 5, 1-2, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Can you see R-E-S-P-E-C-T in this passage? When you're disrespectful, you not only hurt somebody, but you're asking for trouble. You're throwing down the gauntlet, and you're creating conflict. How this world would be a better place if we respected people of all ages, men and women. Next, we see in 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while he is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. So pastors who are preaching and teaching and serving and in visitation and so forth should be decently paid. I remember when I was a young pastor, and they'd say, pastor, could you leave the room from the elder meeting? We need to decide on your increase or not. And I'd step out of the room, and I felt so tiny. I felt very insecure, and I was struggling because we were hurting financially. And the Bible says, don't muzzle the ox. Don't keep the ox from eating some food along the way to get strength as he's going around and treading out the grain. And I have no complaints with this church. I want to say thank you for how you are treating me with double honor in pay and in respect and love and support. So I'm very grateful. But how much better would churches be if their pastors were cared for, loved on? A pastor goes through a lot of hurt and pain and struggle in his own life as well as in the church, and needs a lot of encouragement and help. And I'm very thankful that this church family is very honoring and caring and supportive. Thank you so much. And then 1 Timothy 6, 1-2 says, all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves. Do you see the word R-E-S-P-E-C-T? It's right there. By being respectful to those who are our employers, when you used to be in the workforce, and by those over us in authority, we honor the Lord. So the question of application is, am I respectful of men and women of different ages? Am I respectful and supportive of my pastor and other church leaders? Am I respectful of my boss and others over me in authority? respect. That's key. It's a defining attitude. The second one is care. 1 Timothy 5:4, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. If you call yourself a Christian, take care of your family. Visit them if they're in a skilled nursing facility. I play music in skilled nursing facilities, and there are some seniors who are neglected and forgotten by their family. And pure religion, religion that is put into practice, cares for your own. And in this day, in the first century when it was written, a widow did not have a support network. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have welfare. They would starve to death unless they had a family member to help them. So that's how important it was. Jesus lambasted the religious leaders who said, "Woe unto you, because you say, I've dedicated this financial gift unto the Lord, and therefore I can't help you, my family member." That's wrong. You care for family first. And God bless each and every one of you who can think of family members who are caring for you. Aren't you thankful for sons and daughters and nephews and nieces and others who call you, who visit you, who provide, help you financially in other ways? We're so grateful for them because they're putting their faith to practice. Also, 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I have to make a confession here. When I read 1 Timothy 5, I had no idea how strong Paul was in listing negative consequences, in expressing this strongly how important it is to follow instructions. If you don't provide for your loved ones, you have denied the faith and you're worse than an unbeliever. Ouch! That's powerful. He did not mince any words. This is serious business. So let me just blow you away with a few of these. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. For younger widows, when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, and they want to marry. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge, their pledge to be committed solely to the Lord. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle, going about from house to house. Not only do they become idlers, but busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. For some, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it's brought by two or three witnesses, but those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before anyone, everyone, so that the others may take warning. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Do you see what Paul is doing? He's given the instruction, and then he's talking about the negative consequences if we don't follow the instructions. And none of those are descriptions I would like of myself. Are any of those descriptions you'd like of you? Of course not. We need to follow the instructions. So are you caring for and providing for your relatives in need? And are your relatives caring for you? If they're not caring for you, you need to tell them what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5. And don't mince any words. The next defining attitude is devotion. 1 Timothy 5:5. We get pictures of devotion in this passage, and I just want to quickly point them out to you. The widow who is really in need and left all alone, she's a full circle widow, her devotion is expressed this way. She puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. That's a widow to put on the widow's list. Isn't that a wonderful sign of devotion? A sign of devotion is your hope is not in money, your hope is not in the in your looks, your hope is not in your power or prestige, your hope is in God, and you're talking to Him all the time. Have you noticed as you get older, you don't necessarily sleep all the way through the night, or you have to get up several times? Those are opportunities to pray. When I wake up in the middle of the night, and I woke up at 1:30 this morning, I said, okay, Lord, who do you want me to pray for? And I just spend time praying. That's devotion, is talking to the Lord day and night and always relying on Him, asking Him for help in everything. I was supposed to do a Bible study at a men's group on Wednesday morning. And there was a paper jam in the copier. I mean, there were papers in every nook and cranny of that copier. And one in particular was stuck up the kazoo there, and I couldn't pull it out. And so I got pliers, and the pliers ripped the paper. I'm like, what am I going to do? I got to be there. God help me. And so I got a brilliant idea. Get two flathead screwdrivers and jam it in there, grab that sucker and pull it out. I pulled it out enough that I was able to grab it, and with resistance, tug and war, I said, let me have that. And I got it out. And it said, there's still a paper jam. I'm like, no way. I'm crying out to God, help, help, I need help. And so I pull open the paper drawers, and I see something I've never seen before. There's a symbol, meaning put your finger here and pull, and I put my finger there and pull, and there's a tray. And as I pull that tray out, there is a paper that is crumpled and ripped up, and I got that out, and I closed it, and the machine worked again. Made my copies, did the Bible study, but I said, men, I'm here to talk to you about grit, enough grit not to quit. And God gave me an illustration. I had to call upon Him for help. And that's what a widow does. She relies on God. Jesus commended the widow who gave two mites, which was everything she had. Rich people were just giving a percentage of their wealth. But the Lord saw this widow give all that she had left. That's dependency. And the Lord said, great is her reward. So praise God for this example of devotion. Also, no widow is going to be put on the list unless she's been faithful to her husband and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Isn't that a wonderful example of devotion? We think of devotion as, oh, I've spent hours praying, reading the Bible, but it doesn't mention any of those in there. It's not like that's not important. You're supposed to be with the Lord every day, listen to Him through His Word, and pray to Him, talk to Him, but when you have devotion to the Lord, it expresses itself in loving service to other people. That's devotion. That's faith in action. And then if any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. You know, there are several senior centers and rehab places that are in homes. And I have to admire the people who give personalized, loving care to those in need. That's devotion. James says pure devotion is about caring for widows and orphans because they're the marginalized in society. And then elders who direct the affairs of the church and whose work is preaching and teaching. That is devotion. Believe you me, that's devotion. And then Paul says to Timothy, keep yourself pure. Don't let other people's sins suck you down the tubes. In the same way that sins are obvious to some and hidden but headed towards judgment, there are deeds that are obvious to some and other good deeds that will be revealed down the road. Jesus said, don't show off your piety by, you know, fasting and having a sad face and pulling your belt tight and say, I'm fasting for the Lord. Don't do that. Don't give and blow a trumpet, I'm giving unto the Lord. You know, don't pray with many words. Jesus said, don't be a spiritual show-off. Because the reward you're going to get is the people applauding you, and that's all you're going to get. But instead, practice your piety in private before the Lord. He sees everything. And he will reward you. Many of you have been faithful in your devotion to the Lord, and I commend you. You are examples to me in your piety, in your love, in your service. Keep it up. You bless my heart, and you bless the heart of the family, the community, and this world. So the questions of application are you putting your hope in God? Are you praying night and day? Whether you want to pray at night or not? Are you asking him for help? Are you well known for good deeds? Are you serving and encouraging God's people? Are you staying pure? These are important questions in the last days. We need to follow these instructions. And so what are the proper last day protections? Order for order, follow these essential instructions. Relational categories, give the best to the rest, to other people. And defining attitudes, are your attitudes spiritual or stinky? Do you have a stinky attitude? Or do you have an attitude that honors the Lord? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a very convicting message, but a much needed message. We need instructions for the last days. We want to honor you. We want to serve and care for one another. We want so much to give people the respect and dignity that anyone made in the image of God should receive. And we're all made in the image of God. So Lord, do whatever correcting you need to do in our lives and help us to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord, to trust in him, and to allow your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, bless each and every one, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you need encouragement? I want to share my spiritual gift of encouragement with you. If you would like to hear my current message series, you may call Butte Bible Fellowship at 530-892-0521. Call Butte Bible Fellowship at 530-892-0521 to find out how you can connect with our weekly worship services and faith-building messages from God's Word.